Previously on Adventure.
We have Julian Wingate, Hendley Littlepeen, and we've got Thrace, a dwarf named Gundren Rockseeker, asks you to bring a wagon load of provisions to the rough and tumble settlement of Phandalin. As you come around a bend, you spot two dead horses sprawled about 50 feet ahead of you, blocking the path. These are definitely Gundren and his traveling companion's horses.
Oh, shit. It's a two.
Trip over your own feet and stumble, but not just, like, fall right down. You sort of, like, do one of those, like airplane with your arms things.
Oh, Hendley.
These goblins hop out of the woods. Your warhammer, you pick it up and you like
to like crush him into smoothies.
You basically took your hammer and just beat it until there was no like thing left. That's it. The goblins are dead. But at the same moment, you hear a giant booming explosion back towards Neverwinter. As the smoke from Neverwinter spirals into the sky, Julian and Henley can't help but think about their final days in the city, what they encountered, and how it possibly led to this moment, especially that fateful night 2 weeks ago. So we open a Neverwinter. It's the night. Julian is making his way down a back alley. Neverwinter is a beautiful city, one that features some of the most beautiful and cultured neighborhoods in all of the realm. But as in most places with plenty, there are many who must fight just to afford a loaf of bread.
It's like Williamsburg.
That is where Julian Wingard wanders now, in the area known as the Naga. No artist or aristocrat would wander here. Julian walks down a barely paved alley. It smells of garbage and fresh blood, and behind him, a figure creeps towards him, for the moment, unnoticed. So this figure is Henley Littlepeen. You're going to attempt to pickpocket Mr. Wingard. I'm going to ask you to try to make a sleight of hand check on Julian to see if you can to pickpocket him correctly. So you're going to roll a d20. Let me know what you roll.
The 22.
Yeah, that's not gonna do it. you reach up to try to grab something out of his pocket, and Julian snaps around and catches your hand just before you're about to take his change purse out of his robes.
Odds bodkins, I say. How dare you? What gives you the right to invade my personal space? Who are you?
I'll answer that question in a second, but first I have a question for our dungeon master.
Yes.
What the actual fuck? I have a 22 and I can't take a wallet?
No. Nope.
I was going to fail no matter what I roll.
There was a way that you could have done it, but you missed it.
Okay, got it.
You guys
plus 14 proficiency.
You guys already set your lore from last week where you tried to pickpocket him and you got caught, so there's no way you could have actually pickpocketed him.
Fair enough. All right,
we could have forgotten the mechanics. I could have said you tried to pickpocket him, you didn't do it, but I figured probably better off to have you at least roll.
Julian had turned and he'd asked me a question. We'd asked Henley a question.
Who are you, sir, who would dare to invade my personal space in such a way?
What's it to you?
What's it to me? You tried to pick my pocket, you roguish fool.
No.
Yes, yes.
You're a speck of dust. I want to get a little dust off of you.
Really? You know, I like that. For that bit of imagination, I think you can buy me a drink.
I'd love to. I just...
You have no money. Is that what you're saying? Is that why you picked my pocket?
I just want to see what you might have had.
I have enough to buy us both a lovely flagon of ale. How do you like that, my good man? And your name is?
Littlepeen. Henley Littlepeen.
She, okay, yeah, right. You made that up just now. What's your real name?
It's Henley Littlepeen.
Well, that's good enough for me. I don't need to see the paperwork. Shall we repair to yonder tavern?
After you.
I don't know if you guys want to just move on to the bar, or do you want to maybe like give each other once over?
Do I get to do some sort of honesty check?
You can
speaking as myself here.
You can do a perception check.
How do we do that?
So on your you roll d20.
15 plus 3.
So you look over, Henley, and you see a guy who obviously looks like he he obviously lives in the streets. He's lived in the streets for a long time. It's like set into his ways. Mm-hmm. You know, he looks like he's lived a long time.
Hard life.
You know, he's wearing, you know, his clothes aren't totally dilapidated and messed up, but they definitely look like he's sewn them up a lot of times to try to, you know,
the old-fashioned word, ragamuffin.
Ragamuffin, yeah, exactly.
He's a ragamuffin.
He's a real ragamuffin.
Ragamuffin and the Nagaruffin.
But he looks, you know, really, he looks really kind of comfortable in the surroundings. He looks like he really fits in this sort of derelict section of Neverwinter. Brian, the same thing to you. Do you want to roll an investigation check on Mr. Julian Wingard?
Can always use more information. So obviously I would choose my investigation, which is a +2, instead of my perception, which is a -1.
Yes, that's fine.
Unless I'm going for as little information as possible.
Yeah, exactly. So roll it up.
Oh, shit.
What is it?
It's a 7.
Seven. So what's it, so it's plus what? +2.
So it's a 9.
It's a 9. That's. I mean, you can't really discern too much from him. His robes are really pristine. That's one thing you can see. They look like almost brand new. But they're also, they seem a little bit weird to you. Like you can't tell what's weird about them, but they don't seem like they're kind of the wizard robes that you'd normally see. There isn't a lot natural about the fabric.
I'm speaking as Julian to our dungeon master. I feel some sadness for this urchin. So I can certainly spot him for a flagon.
I'm just thirsty.
That's a fine trait to have, my friend. Shall we?
Henley and Julian grab their pint at the Brick and Wall Tavern. This is an establishment right on the edge of culture and corruption. The artists and merchants of Neverwinter will come here to feel dangerous, and the wayward adventurers come here for a little safety after their long travels. This is a place where you can get a good pint, bad whiskey, and can talk without prying eyes. Or at least not the prying eyes of authorities. Julian and Henley take a seat at the long table at the back. This is where Glory enters the picture. She is in the tavern, hanging out by the bar, and is an old associate of Henley's. She walks over to the table when she sees Henley.
Hi, Henley. Do you remember me?
Oh. Julie.
Glory! Remember?
No.
You tried to steal from me, and I caught you.
No. You got me confused with someone else. I would never do that.
Yes, it would. It's a recurring theme.
No, because I didn't have any money either. And you were, like really mad at me. But I got money now, so. But don't steal from me, okay?
But so she's got money. He's got money. I'm the only one with no money.
Are you working? That's how you make money. That's what my dad told me.
Well,
you gotta get a job. You gotta get out of the house and get a job.
I'm liking this lady.
are you looking to hire?
Oh no, I'm trying to find a job. That's why I'm here.
I'm thinking there's room enough for everyone. We've got stuff to do. If you'd like to listen up here a little bit, folks.
Can I sit down?
Sure. Is it okay? Please do. Barkeep, what will the young lady have?
I'll have a glass of milk, please.
Glass of milk coming right up.
Hey, can you make a chocolate? Can I make a chocolate milk?
Some cocoa milk coming right up for you.
Thank you so much.
I did.
You're welcome.
When did Gabby Hayes from Roy Rogers become the bartender?
I don't know who that is, but I'm going to go get this chocolate milk.
Sorry.
Little Peen, what do you want?
Ale.
Can you pay?
I've got it. I've got him. He's covered. I know he may have caused trouble in here before, but that will never happen again.
I'm going to have to see some money up front. If Little Peen is ordering any ale.
I understand. So all we need is to have a quiet space for a conversation. I have more than enough gold pieces to pay.
I can't promise it's never going to happen again, but at least a little while.
Thanks for helping.
All right. What do you want? Salt and pepper?
I would have gone for chocolate milk, but I think that's now out of the question. Your strongest whiskey, sir.
Just so you know, a whiskey shit.
That's fine, I can fix that.
One shit whiskey and ale, and a cocoa milk coming up.
Thank you so much.
Welcome, you're very polite for a tiefling. Thank you very much.
Well, this is what they always tell me.
Sorry, was that a little racist? I'm sorry.
No. Like I understand where you're coming from. My people aren't really friendly. or good in general. But
you seem like a delight.
Thank you. Thank you. That's why I'm here. Yeah. I got kicked out. So a tiefling is the result of a demon kind of like inbreeding with humans a long time ago. So they're like infernal, fire, devilish looking people. They got horns, tails, all that stuff. They tend towards evil, but not necessarily. And they come in like shades of red and darker colors, but Glory was born kind of pink, like a baby pink. And she wears scale mail. She carries a mace around, but she doesn't know how to use it very well. She wears a daisy flower crown because she thinks it looks pretty. And she's got a brand on her chest of her holy symbol.
All right. So I'm gonna go get your drinks.
It seems like you two have a history.
Well, remember that time you and I met minutes ago? She and I, a similar experience.
Yeah, but that was like only like 3 days ago.
Let me earn a drink. I've got these three cards. You pick the right card, I'll buy you a drink. If you pick the wrong card, you buy me a drink.
Is your name Monty by any chance?
It's Lil Peen. Henley.
Julian.
H E N D L E Y L R L P E E N.
Yeah. Okay.
Lil Peen.
It doesn't have a ring to it said quite that way, but I've seen this game before on the streets.
I know the answer. All the cards are the wrong one.
Exactly, Glory, exactly. That's the problem. But
So are you all denying playing this card game with Henley?
I'm definitely denying playing this card game.
I'll play the game, but I don't want to like put any stakes into it.
All right, I'm back. I got your cocoa milk for the lovely lady.
Thank you so much.
I got the shit whiskey here for salt and pepper. And I got an ale for Lil Peen.
Much obliged.
I got my eyes on you, Lil Peen.
I'll keep him in line.
All right, as he walks away, you know, Julian, you kind of look around a little bit, you know, your surroundings. You're a little bit of a suspicious guy, so you're making sure. The bar is pretty packed. It's a pretty packed tavern. There's like a table off to your right that has three, let's say, bandit-looking fellows, and one bandit-looking lady over at that table. There's another table which seems like a bunch of people minding their business. They look like they might be artisans. They look like they might be members of the theater, just trying to grabbing a pint. And there's like a figure standing off in the corner, dressed all in black, just sort of, he's sort of staring over at your table. So that's the scene that you guys have set around you. So how would you like to proceed? Would you like to check out your surroundings a little bit?
Definitely so. I'm more inclined to check out that man in black.
All right, so why don't you roll an investigation check?
11 plus 3.
14. So you look over and actually need you to roll a sleight of hand check because you have to try to look at him without him realizing you're looking at him.
Four.
Okay. So you look over at this figure and you look him over and you can see he's wearing all in black. He's very, very pale, very fair of skin, very fair hair, very, very intelligent eyes. And he is looking over you and he definitely notices you looking at him. And when your gazes meet, you feel a power that you have never felt before. Mm. And as soon as your gazes meet, this gentleman begins to walk over to your table.
Perfect.
This very powerful figure approaches you and says,
"Hello, my name is Hugh Sanguine. How are you today?"
It's a lovely name.
Yes.
Thank you. I've always been a fan of tieflings.
Really?
Yes.
Not many people are. They get really intimidated, but I appreciate you saying that. That's very kind.
Well, nothing intimidates me, so.
Oh. Are you a tough person?
Tough is for lower beings.
I'm tough.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. We're in agreement already, Hugh, about the situation hereabouts.
I'm really here to talk to you. You might be surprised to know I know of you, Julian Wingard. I've heard tale of your travels, and I have heard also tale of a very interesting item in this fairy town that you may be interested in.
This could be true. I am on a quest.
There is a book under heavy guard at a bandit's hideout somewhere in the Naga. All I know of it is that there is some trick to removing it from its hiding place. I do not know exactly where it is, but I do know that there's someone coming for it. Someone very powerful.
Like a bad guy?
Yes, like a bad guy, absolutely. I will tell you that you might be wondering, what do I want out of this situation? I only want one thing. There is a page in the book, one page, that has very much to do with my brethren that I would like given to me. That is the only payment I require. You may keep the rest of the book.
What's in the book?
Glory, leave this to the grown-ups.
Okay. But can I help?
Yeah, we need your help desperately.
Okay.
And you, Hendley Little Peen, because I think all our skills are needed to do this together. And that includes you. You?
No, I cannot be a part of this adventure. I cannot be associated with the taking of the book.
I will make a trade. I will certainly pass that page to you once I have perused it. However, there's information I'm sure you have about the guards around this book and the things that we may need to circumvent to get there.
I do not know any exact details, but I will tell you that some of the answers are closer than you would expect.
I expected that, oddly enough.
I think I know what he means.
What's he mean?
Well, I pull out my notebook, because I keep a little notebook with me, and it's got flowers, and it's really cute. He had said it's at a bandit's hideout, you know, like a place where bandits live and maybe, like, have fun and stuff, and I noticed there was a table over there with some bandits. Like, do you think they go to the hideout?
You're really smart.
Yes, indeed. Intuitive, too. I love that. Love that. Thank you, Glory.
This one is paying attention. What was your name?
Glory. Glory Firestorm.
Glory Firestorm. That is like a superhero name.
Well, thank you so much. I want to be heroic someday. I think it would be cool.
This is your opportunity, Glory, I'm thinking.
So I will have to leave you now. If you have any questions for me, though, I will be glad to answer any more questions.
How do we find you?
I will find you, obviously. That's something that you would expect me to say, I would assume. I'm a very mysterious type of figure. With a very vague European accent.
is what this mysterious man wants the same thing that Diana wants in Batman v Superman? Are we going to have to watch trailers for the next episodes on the air?
Let me tell you about Cyborg. Well, I can't tell you that. I can assure you that it's not a footage of Wonder Woman in the 1940s.
That would be pretty cool, though.
It would be pretty cool. Just so, I mean, Mara obviously knows this, but just for you guys, this is a bit of time if you wanted to, you know, probe deeper, if you wanted to do any sort of like perception check or investigation check, if you didn't believe this guy or whatever, this would be the time to do it. Why don't you all roll perception checks?
5.
What are we perceiving? Just the figure in front of us?
The nature of Hugh Sanguine.
Can I actually do insight?
Yes, absolutely. Oh,
perception?
Absolutely, right. Yes.
I want. 16 on the die plus 4 for 20.
Oof. Oof. And Brian, why don't you roll as well?
And is it in investigation?
You can pick what you want to pick.
Yeah, I'm going to use investigation. I rolled a 10, so 12 total.
Julian, you don't really see nothing. Much. You know, his robes are very fine material. You know, he looks very well manicured. He obviously has a lot of power resting inside of him. Feels like somebody you probably don't want to mess with. Glory, with your insight, you can definitely tell there's something that this guy is not telling you.
I scrunch up my eyes and I peer really close to his face.
I know your secrets.
And then I want to do a cantrip at the same time. And so for my divine sign, in this case, as I lean in, telling him I know his secrets, I'm altering the appearance of my eyes from their typical blackness to fire. I just kind of like squint, lean in, say that, and then open my eyes really wide as the fire burns in them.
Now, is there any sort of like check I'm supposed to do against this?
No, it's just what it is. It's just a manifestation of a minor wonder, sign of supernatural power and within range, which is 30 feet. It doesn't do anything except just that. So there's no damage or attack. It's basically flavor text to add to a narrative that also might make a character think a certain way.
You are very close to my face right now, and that is it's a little bit creepy. Your face is... You have a lovely shade of pink, though.
Thank you.
I don't know what you mean by my secrets. Are you referring to my vampiric nature? Because I thought that was a little bit obvious.
There's something up with you.
Well, when you live as long as I do, you have many secrets. Isn't that right, Julian?
I don't know what you're referring to.
I squint and I look closer at his mouth. Say cheese.
Cheese?
Ah, oh, that's so cool.
Well, this has been a very weird experience. The beginning was okay. The end has been a little bit strange. Will you take the job or not? Oh, sorry, Henley, what did you roll again?
A 10, so 12 total.
12 total. You did an investigation check, right?
Yep.
So you look at him, and you can't see too much, but you do see that... There's some sort of symbol on the inside collar of his robe. You can't really see what it is, but it looks almost like a pillar or something like that. And there's more to it, but you can see like a pillar, and it seems like there's more to it, but you can't really see what else is there. But there is definitely something inside his robes, some sort of sigil inside his robes. So let me ask you again, will you take the job?
Yes, but I think our goals are similar.
Amen.
I don't have anything better to do.
I know that you guys probably don't care about some book. For you guys, I give you a very good reward when I receive my end of the bargain.
Which is only one page. Let's make that clear.
Just one page.
You only needed one page.
Only need one page of the book. Absolutely, one page of the book. When you give that page to me, you will get the book, Julian, plus... The reward that everyone else will get. So
I don't want eternal life. I don't want that as a reward.
No. This wasn't some sort of like like euphemism. You'll get a reward. This is actually a reward. So you 100 gold pieces each. That's what you'll get for this if you do this.
All right.
Sounds fair.
I know that you would probably like money. You seem like a sort of a poor guy. What was it? Little penis?
It's Little Pain.
Little Pain. Sorry, Little Pain. It's a very. Are you from the Hungarian Little Peens?
No. Swiss Irish.
Apparently we just established that Switzerland and Ireland and Hungary exist in this world. I meant to say, are you from the Sword Coast, Little Peens? That's what I meant to say. That's a Dungeons & Dragons thing.
I might be.
Well, okay. This is the end of this conversation has been less than I had hoped.
I don't think Little Peen knows his family.
Oh, you are some sort of havesy, aren't you, Little Peen?
I'm going to get another ale.
I think they have, what, how's it say?
I think you're
what,
cut
is the,
off.
What is the term, Julian? I have struck a nerve, I think. Yes. Is that the term?
Yes, I believe we have hit close to home.
Can I punch him in the face and by doing so, move his coat so I can see what that symbol is?
You can try to punch him in the face.
What if I drop my glass of chocolate milk on his coat? And have to clean it off.
You can do that. I believe that's going to be a sleight of hand check.
Okay, because I'm naturally a clumsy character.
Okay.
So this fits in because I have a zero on sleight of hand. I am literally throwing away my chocolate milk here.
I will let you spill a little chocolate milk on me, but if you're going to clean off the robe and try to peep inside of it, you're going to have to do a sleight of hand check.
Okay, so I have a 17 on the die plus zero. I trip over my tail a little bit and fall over and still all over his robe. And I'm like on the floor, like, ah!
Mara, are you going to try to look, or are you distracting him to let Little Peen try to look?
I think what I'm going to do is, like, grab a towel off the table or from the barkeep as he's walking around and try to, like, wipe it off his robes. And that way get the robes kind of, like, out in the open so that other people can see it.
But, I mean, Glory doesn't even know that it exists, right? I was the one that saw it.
That a gaming. I can't do that.
No, but you can still naturally...
Because I am naturally clumsy, but I don't
right.
know what I'm
doing. But so it'll have to be I have to do something to make it so I can see.
Well, listen to this. I mean, we can rewind a little bit. When he asked, like, do you have any more questions? You guys can kind of like confer together, do a little, and you guys can share your information with each other. So, do you have any more questions for me? Any more concerns?
I'd love to know what family he belongs in. There's something different with him.
Okay, you're not talking to Hewer right now.
I'm talking to my partner.
So you guys bunch up together, like a little, very cartoonish, like in a little circle.
This sounds like fun.
Yes. I saw something. He's got a mark inside his coat.
We could see that. It could help.
Oh.
I want to know who he's working for.
I have an idea. And then I immediately turn around quickly enough to where I use the momentum. Oh my gosh! I am so sorry. I am so sorry. That looks like it's an expensive robe.
This is my best robe. What the hell?
I am so sorry. I'm so sorry.
90 pieces each. Then sorry.
dry cleaning.
And I'm using a towel just to like mop up as much as I can, but I'm also like spreading a robe open.
please, it's okay.
I'm pretty good at sleight of hand.
Yeah, let him do it because I'm concentrating on. Being a buffoon.
All right. Please, I know you're very nice, but please, I can take care of it myself.
I start crying.
Oh no! Please don't cry. I hate to see people cry. I don't like. I know I'm a vampire, but I don't like when people cry. Yes.
He just admitted it, guys.
I said that before. I said I was a vampire before.
Oh, calm down. Henry, it's okay.
I was very clear when your friend. Put her face right next to my face and was like, I know your secret. I was like, oh, yeah, you mean I'm a vampire? That was what I said.
Please,
could you please pay attention to what's going on?
We have no prejudice against vampires here.
Anyway, you're crying. Brian, do you want to roll a sleight of hand check?
I would love to.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so I rolled a 10, but now I've got 2 in sleight of hand, but I also get a proficiency bonus for that.
So you have +4.
Right, so 14.
All right, so you kind of like sneak up around and try to peer inside the collar, and you get the next bit of the sigil, which is looks like another pillar. But just before you can see the whole rest of it, Hugh realizes what's going on. Excuse me, what are you doing? No, chocolate milk got on my collar. Why are you up here?
I just want to be thorough.
Thorough for with what?
Help.
I do not believe you, but...
I don't care what you believe. You want your damn page, you can just shut the fuck up.
He said a bad word.
Very rude. He's a very rude.
He won't do that again. I promise.
I can't promise that.
All right. The end of this conversation has been very bad. You guys are very strange. But I need you good to get this book for me, so we will have a tenuous working relationship. We are not friends. Let's just be clear. We are not friends, okay? Do not call me. Do not come to my house. We are not friends. Goodbye.
Bye, Mr. Vampire.
Goodbye, Tiefling.
He was really nice. I thought he was cool.
I don't know that I agree, but I think he could be useful.
I don't know. There's just something about, like, life and death living together in one person. It's just so neat.
I think he's rude.
No, he had good points. They're mostly on his teeth. But besides that, we're fine.
Hey, everybody. This is your Dungeon Master, Bobby Shortle, just taking a quick break from the action to go over a little housekeeping. So if you're listening to Adventure, thank you guys so much. It's amazing the response we've had so far. And me, Jackie, Bob, Brian, we all really, really appreciate it. If you guys are wondering why I'm doing something like this, I feel like it's a little bit weird for us in character to be like, hey, follow me on Twitter at Bobby Shortle. So I figured this is a good little break in the middle to do that in. So if you're loving the show, please consider going to iTunes and leaving us a review. I know right now it's a little hard to find us sometimes just by searching in iTunes, but there's a link in the show notes. And if you search Adventure Dungeons and Dragons in iTunes, You should find it okay. Leave us a rating, and if you can, a review. It helps immensely with our placement in the iTunes store and our ability to get noticed, which is the hardest thing in the world for a new podcast. Follow us on Twitter at DNDAdventure, where you can get silly updates from me about the progress and stuff that's going on. You can also email us adventure@talkingcombooks.com. If you use the hashtag DNDAdventure on Twitter, you can have a character named after you. Like, there's a couple characters in this episode that are named after listeners, Kelsey, Blenko. So that can be you as well. if you don't follow any of this is your first podcast from our network, that's awesome. If it's your fifth podcast, also awesome. But if you don't know, we're part of an organization, talkingcombooks.com, a big podcast network and website. Talking Comics, Talking Games, Legendary Runs, which deals with big runs of certain characters. And you can find basically all the hosts and Talking Movies. Between those podcasts, you can find all the people you've heard on this show elsewhere, if you like what you hear. we have a Patreon. It's site-wide. It's patreon.com/talkingcomics. If you like what we do and you want to support us, you know, you get little bonuses, you know, some extra content here, some extra content there, but it really is about supporting us as a website and a podcast to help us, you know, keep going doing what we're doing, if you're so inclined. But most of all, I just want to say thank you so much to everyone who's listened, both from previous podcasts that I've done and new. It means a lot. We're really, really excited about this one. It's been really great to start to learn how to play Dungeons and Dragons, and I want to give a big shout out to Mara once again, who joined us for this episode but taught us how to do this. If you noticed, we have sound effects in this episode. That's courtesy of Justin Riley, who is a sound engineer, who an awesomely talented guy who has agreed to help us out and to do this. And I love it. I think that it adds a lot. Soundscapes and sound effects adds a lot to the show. We're going to be helped out a lot by Battle Bards, which is a cool site. It gives music and sound effects. You can buy music and sound effect libraries for your tabletop games. Starting the next episode, are going to be kind of helping us out. It's just battlebards.com. Check that out. And I think it's good for my little mid-break here. Let's get back to the Brick and Wall Tavern, to Julian, Henley, and Glory, figuring out what's next.
We have to move on. We need to address.
Well, as you guys are talking, the bandit sitting at the table over to your right grow in volume. They're kind of yelling and like laughing, and they're playing some sort of game at their table. From what Glory had sort of surmised, you're sort of thinking, looking over them, thinking maybe this is a way for us to find our way to this artifact we need to get.
Do we want to be just direct, or do we want to be tricksy?
Well, I was thinking maybe you got those little artsy people over there.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they heard something. Maybe they know where they're living. I want to know if they know where we should go.
We're going to leave the bandits and the loudness aside.
I feel like the person in our group who looks the most bandity to gain the most trust is him.
I agree. I think we can be tricksy with the bandits. They're playing a game. Henley, you're certainly a gamesman. How about you go over there and see if you can't slip into their game? We'll follow.
I'll be the best at that game.
Hopefully you're better than you are at pickpocketing.
I believe in you, Henley.
Thank you, Glory.
Glory, I do not
dislike you.
Good. I want to do a cantrip on him, on Henley.
Okay.
It's called Guidance. Is a cantrip where I touch him, and before the spell ends, the target can roll a d4 and add that number roll to one ability check of your choice.
Oh,
so,
okay.
In case you go there and you're going to play a game that requires a sleight of hand or bluff or something like that, you can roll a d4 and add that to you. Ooh. And so I look at Henley like, okay, I want to do something really cool. And I put my hand on his forehead and I say some words in my native tongue of infernal. And it sounds real devilish and evil. And then I'm done, like, okay, have fun.
Our thoughts are with you, Henley.
So Henley, you're going to walk over to this table of bandits?
Yep. So should I roll the walk?
No, you don't have to roll the walk. Okay. You can just walk over there. That's That's an acceptable, easy action. I feel like Henley could walk over to the table. So as you walk up, you hear these three kind of talking to each other. You see them more closely now. One of them is obviously, like, the head of the three. He's kind of holding court. He's got a jolly kind of red face. His face is very red from drinking, but he's got a jolly face. But there's like a big scar running down the middle of his face. And he has two sort of younger companions sitting next to him, one woman, one guy, and they're all sort of rolling these dice and drinking big flagons of ale and joking around with each other.
Hey, you know the difference between a refrigerator and a toilet?
I don't know what either one of those things is.
then you are disgusting.
Was that a joke?
I heard it in my sleep dreams.
Okay. Is there something you wanted, sir?
You're very respectful. I want to play this game with you. I want to play the game. I want to win.
You can play the game with it. If you could do me a favor when you play the game, if you could move your mouth a little farther away from the mic.
I guess I can do that.
Thank you so much. That's so much better in my ears.
You know what a mock is, but you don't know what a refrigerator or a toilet is.
Back at the table, yeah. Julian and Glory are holding their heads in agony.
I'm like, what is he doing?
I don't know. This is insane.
Well, we needed a fourth. Mike did not show up. If you can sit down, what's your name?
Julian.
Your name is Julian.
My name is Julian.
I'm Blenko. We've got Kelsey. This is Kelsey, and this is Josh. You can probably figure out who would be. The girl is Kelsey. The man is Josh. All right.
Chelsea, Kosh, got it.
All right. You seem a little bit like an idiot, but let's. But we really like. Playing with idiots, absolutely.
Julian nods in disgust.
Can we overhear the conversation from here?
Yeah, they're being pretty loud.
We're kind of close.
Yeah, they're being pretty loud. They're not really holding anything back. But as you sit down, Henley, the bandits kind of like crop together a little bit, and they start speaking in low voices, and they're actually, they're speaking in dwarfish. You hear them say, "This guy's an idiot. Not even a full elf. Lame." And then you hear something. There's another word you can't really hear. They're speaking too low. But then you hear, "You're an idiot. It's the first signpost along the alley." And then they kind of look. They realize they're speaking a little bit loud, and they turn back to you. All right, Julian. Do you want to play this game with us?
Absolutely, I do.
All right. Well, I mean, you seem like you need a drink, though. You need a drink to play this game.
I'll need some ale.
All right, barkeep. Can we have another flagon of ale over here, please? Actually, can I just call you Little Peen? Is that okay?
That's all right.
All right, Little Peen. This game is called Spoils of War.
Free to play.
Free to play. Yes.
Microtransactions.
If you want extra dice, you have to pay us. 20 cents per dice. Best value though is if you buy 100 dice, it's 100 gold pieces. All right. This game is played with a 6-sided dice. Do you have any 6-sided dice, Lil Peen?
I do.
All right. So
I'll go 4 of them.
You're gonna have to roll 3 of them, and we're gonna lay bets on the outcome of the dice. We're all gonna bet. So why don't you play the bank first, Henley? Why don't you roll? So we're kind of betting if the total is gonna be 10 or more. That's what we're gonna bet on. All right. We're going to say it's going to be more than 10. So why don't you roll 3 D6s? That's what we call them in this world, D6s.
14.
14. All right, so we won. So you're going to give us 10 gold pieces, Henley. Henley, not Henley. Julian. Julian Littlepeen.
Double or nothing.
All right, all right. Double or nothing. Double or nothing.
Glory, what's he doing?
We can definitely do that. We can definitely do that.
I blessed him. I gave him guidance. I did my part.
I know, but I'm thinking he's... either insanely lucky at the back end, or we're in big trouble.
I'd like to do something where we try it legit, the double or nothing thing, and if I fail, maybe try and do some persuasion where I convince them that the number isn't what the number is.
Okay. I like that idea. So double or nothing, we're gonna say less than 10 on this one.
It's 10. A 3, a 6, and a 1. You said less than 10. This is 10. We are square.
I think you're a damn cheater, son. You could walk over here and you just win all our money. What is up with that?
I didn't win anything. You won some money, then I gave you my money back because it's all a wash. Can I not be the bank? You guys are a lot of fun. I want to keep playing.
That's very nice of you. You're being very polite, so I guess we can keep playing. We won't stab you yet. All right. It's time for Kelsey to be the bank. So she'll go next. All right, Kelsey, are you ready?
I'm ready for sure.
Just as she's about to roll the dice, the barman comes back up. What did I tell you guys? You can't use these fake weird coins at this establishment. You got to use common currency, not this stuff. And at the same time, he flips this coin. It flips over and lands in front of you, Henley. And it has three pillars insigniated on it. And there's something written in Dwarvish across the top, which you can make out, Henley, as follow the path of light. But quickly, as you read this and they see you looking at it, Kelsey reaches down and grabs it and pulls it away. Let's roll here. And Kelsey's going to roll as the bank.
I haven't bet, though.
Oh, yeah, bet. Sorry.
It's going to be more than 10.
It is a 6.
Oh. It was a 6. You lose. Sorry.
Did they just say I lost again? Oh, no.
What I want to do is do a charisma check and convince them that, you know what, let's forgive the 10 gold pieces and I'm going to take care of your whole bar tab.
Use that ability increase.
I'm a gonna.
Oh, yeah. Use it to lie.
so right now, I've got charisma at 15 plus 2 modifier bonus.
Okay.
So 17.
Yeah, and roll your d4.
And my d4 is going to give me a 3. It was a 3.
Oh.
All right, so that's a 20 then, right?
That's a 20.
It's a 20.
Oh, you know what, lads? I've got a better idea. I know the barkeep real well. Instead of 10 pieces, I'm going to go up there and get all your drinks paid for tonight, tomorrow, all week, all year. Just forgive this little debt and watch the ale flow like water.
Henley, you are so charming and so convincing in your speech. They all sort of look at you for a second, and then Captain Blenko says, "You know what? I like you. I like the cut of your jib, sir, and I also like ale. So I say, let's do it. We got plenty of coin back in the hideout. So let's get some ale. I say let's do it. And also I saw you sitting over there, sir, with a couple of friends. If you want to bring them over, let the more the merrier. Let's hang out. Let's drink and let's make merry, as they say. Right? Am I right?
I'm kind of torn here between wanting to go, take them up on the offer and. But we've got some information that I have to get back to the other two of my party, and I kind of want to just book it out of Dodge.
Henley, it's bedtime.
Oh, glory. All right.
It's time to go home. I don't want to be at the bar anymore. I'm 16. I'm not even supposed to be here.
I like to leave, but I don't know if we can do that without the bandits freaking out.
Well, you can certainly try.
Julian, Glory, let's get out of here.
Let me ask you one question for all of you. Do you think you've done enough investigating with the bandits?
Not nearly enough.
Do you know where you can find this hideout?
No.
If Henley shares the information he got from us,
it's a good start, but
we have three pillars.
No, it would be the first light.
The first
the alley, follow the light.
And follow the path of light.
So we're not exactly sure what alley it is. Are they listening to me complain?
They could hear complaining coming from over there.
Yeah.
Grumble.
They're sort of looking over and being like, Julian, is she with you?
She is. And that's Henley over there.
Ah, Henley. Henley, does he have a last name?
Wingate.
Wingate.
It's Henley Wingate.
Okay, Henley Wingate, Julian Littlepeen, and what's your other friend's name? The tiefling.
It's Flory Geierstorm.
Oh, that's a weird name, but I guess tieflings are a little bit weird. I don't really know the history of tieflings, but okay, all right, okay. Well, I mean, are they gonna come over here right now? I noticed your friend. She's like. She seems to be belly aching a little bit. I don't know what that's about.
I kind of like saunter over. I'm like, are you guys done playing your game yet? Did you win or nah?
No.
Yeah, no, we really cleaned him out, but your friend, it was very gracious. We agreed to settle the debt by him buying us a few rounds of ale. So, we're all good here.
Well, Julian, let me help you out here, because I owe you a tremendous amount of money for that great favor you did me. So, here, you take that, and you can pay for these gentlemen's round, and perhaps one for us as well. Glory, would you like another chocolate milk before we go?
Can I get a seltzer water?
Surely. I'm sure they can manage that.
Great carbonation at this brick and wall tavern.
Soda gun. You gotta have a soda gun.
It's an arcane liquid dispenser.
No, it's done with otter farts.
We need more otter farts!
I'm gonna go to the bar and order the round of drinks with the money that Julian just gave me.
I go ahead and sit down at the bandit's table.
No, I'm a handler.
Yes, you did, but he's talking to you like exactly.
So where are you guys from?
Well, we're from Neverwinter, born and raised.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, we live in the Naga, the rich folk, they call, you know, the slums, but you know, it's home.
You know, home is where the heart is, and that's what matters most.
That's absolutely right. Who cares if the path goes down the Alley of Scars? You know, that doesn't matter.
Alley of Scars, ouch.
Yeah, it's a rough neighborhood. It's a tough place to raise a family, but we try to get by.
You have children?
Oh, yeah, we all have children.
That's so sweet. Like a big family.
Yeah. You know, you need people to go into the little cracks, you know. We need people to, you know, there's a lot of little places for people to get into. We have a lot of work to do every day, so.
Yeah, and people trust children.
They do. It's true. People really do trust children. They will tell them anything. It's crazy. Someone's young, they'll just tell them anything.
I know that feeling. There's a lot of young tieflings where I grew up. It's a Naga.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out sometime. It sounds cool.
Well, cool is a word you could use, I guess.
I don't get out very often. Any place really is cool.
Okay. But, you know, I would keep your change purse close to your vest, you know?
Yeah, so we know Naga. We know Path of Scars. We know First Signpost in the Alley.
You don't know that. I haven't been able to tell you it yet.
Oh, okay. I just know Path of Scars.
You know Alley of Scars, Alley of Scars. In the Alley Naga.
I look at them and I pull out three daisies and hand one to each of them and say, I hope you guys have a good rest of the evening.
They look very touched. Like they haven't seen this kind of innocent kindness very often. They're sort of speechless. And they look at the flowers and they kind of all pick them up and sniff them. And as they do, you see their like their scabbards where they have they have their swords, and on their swords you see the same three pillared symbol have emblazoned on the side of the swords. You do also notice when they sort of lifted their arms, the coins on the table that have the three symbols, they didn't glow, but there was a little bit of a glitter that came off of them. At this point, Henley comes back over with the ale. Puts it down in front of them. So, what do you guys want to do? Do you guys want to drink with them? Do you want to take your leave? What do you want to try to do here?
We toast merrily.
Okay.
Sip our drink, quarter of the way down, and take our leave.
I like that plan. It's a good one.
As you get up to leave, the bandit captain stands up, and he says, "Excuse me. I mean, this round was great. Don't get me wrong, but I believe Julian was it."
Mm-hmm.
You promised us unlimited ale for the night, and if you're leaving, how's that really going to work out?
I've already told the barkeep I've paid in advance for your whole bill.
All right. You're going to have to make... We have to make some sort of check on this.
There's deception.
Yep. Deception. A deception check, yeah, on this.
If not, I got...
Well,
I
guess
got
what? Done. Guess who's got +4 in the deception category, people?
Well, you go ahead and roll away. Roll a d20, Brian.
13, so it becomes a 17.
So with a 17, they buy it. They believe you. Well, thank you so much, Julian. Do we just say your name at the bar?
Sure.
So Julian Littlepeen, that's what I tell them at the bar.
Absolutely, it's my name. 100% my name.
That's a weird thing to say.
I've never had any other name.
That's a really strange thing to say to us as you're leaving.
Ixnay on the aim nay there, Julian.
Thank you very much, and we'll hope you see you again. Hail and well met.
So say we all.
All right, so you folks are leaving the tavern?
Let's beat it.
Guys.
Yeah.
There have been little dicks talking in dwarvish about me, my family, my looks.
Dicks. Oh, that's so rude.
But not important. What's the good stuff?
But they don't know on air what they were saying. They were talking to another bloke who said the first lamppost down the alley is where they're supposed to go. And then a coin that was written in dwarvish said, follow the path of light. So I think that might be a clue to where we need to go. Would one of you like to lead the way?
Yeah, we gotta go to Naga, where they are from, and look for the Alley of Scars.
That sounds just lovely, doesn't it? But I think we must go there.
I'm all right with it.
What time of day is it?
It's the night.
Yeah, Henley, Brian, did you also share with us about the symbol on the vampires on here?
No, I haven't. No, okay. Which again is... I think the coin that I saw with the bandits is the same. Well, I should tell you that then.
Yeah.
Also, that really pale dude, the one who gave us the job,
Mr. Hugh Sanguin.
Yes, Hugh Sanguin. He had a symbol on his collar, and it looked like the coin that the bandits had with these three pillars.
Yeah.
Wait, you know
I saw that on the sword.
Oh.
Do you think they're working for each other?
I don't know. Are we walking into a trap? Because I really want to.
That sounds like a really good narrative thing.
I mean, I need a job. That's what my family told me to do. And this is a job, even though it's kind of a crappy one. But everyone's first job is crappy, right?
Yes. And we have a...
Mine was literally crappy. I shovel crap. It was my job. It was a crappy job.
Were you at least good at it?
Well, the crap went away, so then yes.
Well, I guess we have. I mean, we kind of have to do it because there's that book thing.
We agree. Right, we agreed, and I think at the end everyone will benefit.
Yeah, and I get magic.
Unless we all get murdered in a bandit hideout.
I can heal you.
That would be a not benefit, anti benefit.
Deficit, I believe, is the word, Handley.
Anti benefit. I like that.
Knowing what you know about Neverwinter, Henley, you're from here, you know, or you spent a lot of time here, and you spent a lot of time in the slums. It's where you're from. You know where the Alley of Scars is.
I've been there. I just it's dark, and I would I'm gonna have a little bit of a hard time finding it. That's all.
Well, we can walk around a little bit and see if anything jogs your memory, and then we can go down the alley.
Look for a lamppost.
Just think positive, guys. We'll find it.
Henley, you kind of lead them towards where you think the alley is. When you get to that location, which you, once you see it, you kind of know, like, this is the alley. You guys look around, and you don't see any lampposts. There's no really lights to be found here.
I can't use any level, speaking as me, I have no level one things at this point.
What do you mean? Yes, you do. Yeah, you have all your spells.
Oh.
Yeah, you have all your spells.
Well, I have burning hands.
You have burning hands.
We don't want to set anything on fire.
Yes, we can see where we're going. That might be good here in the dark. We don't know what sort of...
Do you have dancing lights?
Yes, but I took pills for that and it cleared up. Should we not set fire to things? I'm just concerned about this darkened alley, folks.
You can do whatever you want.
Now, Glory, you're mostly on fire, a little bit. So you could lead the way, perhaps, just in general on aura.
I have dark vision.
I don't.
So I don't have a problem. Can I actually do... I wonder if I can use guidance on myself. Because it just says I touch a willing creature.
I will allow it.
Okay. So the holy symbol that's on the upper part of my chest, the raven, glows ever so slightly as I, like, put my hands on my face and say some incantations to help guide me to perceive my environment better. I want to do that and then roll a perception. Oh, 4. That's plus 4 is 8 plus a d4. Okay, 11.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of look at the alleyway and it looks like a normal sort of really shitty alleyway. There's a kind of the distinct smell of urine. It's a well-trodden alleyway, but no really set of footprints is any more, or marks is any more sort of visible than the other, important than the other. It all kind of looks like that. There does seem to be about two steps down the alleyway to the right. There seems to be like a patch of dirt that is a little bit more kind of pushed down. Like people are stopping there and standing there, but there is nothing from what you can see with your eyes, even with your dark vision. Nothing you can see with your eyes that looks like it's a light or a lamppost or anything like that.
Okay, so I walk to that spot and I stand right there. I'm looking around. Are there any words that say signpost in Dwarvish? Well, I guess I don't read Dwarvish. Is there any Dwarvish writing?
No, there's no Dwarvish writing around where you are. There's no writing of any kind.
I tap my foot impatiently.
Like a Sonic the Hedgehog type of move?
Yeah. Okay.
You guys, you know, you see Glory sort of go to this spot and sort of look around. How do you guys react to that?
Well, Mr. Stealth, you did so well with the goblins.
And those
that
didn't happen yet.
It didn't happen yet.
You did so well with those bandits. What say you and I investigate, but you take the lead?
Just as you're about to move, you hear voices coming from back where you came from, kind of walking down the alley. And Henley, you very easily recognize them as the voices of the bandits from the bar. They're speaking in Dwarvish, but they're a little bit too far away from where you are to really overhear it clearly. But they are talking and sort of excitedly and heatedly.
So I'm going to get closer.
You can absolutely get closer. You're going to have to roll a stealth check for that. Yes, you guys can all hear them. They're being pretty loud, but you guys can't understand a word they're saying.
A20.
Oh, whoa. You critical that one. So don't even worry about it. You.
She's like the wind.
You couldn't be any more silent if you could possibly try. So
silent but deadly.
Silent but deadly. Exactly. And as you get close to them, you can hear them definitely. It's the bandits, the bandit captain, the head of the bandits, and the one named Kelsey are sort of really laying in to Josh, the other bandit. What you hear when you woke up is, in Dwarvish, is you hear, "I can't believe you lost your coin. How would you find your way back without us?" And Josh is being very, very apologetic. I'm so sorry. I gave it to the barman, and usually they've given him back, but they didn't give him back this time. I don't know. I'm really sorry. Just fine and dandy. We could have been easily found out this way. I'm just glad we avoided it. We better get back. They're going to be waiting for us. And they look like they're about to sort of turn and start walking, not directly where you are, Henley. If you look, you're sort of hiding behind the house off to the left of them. They're going to head down a sort of the alleyway on the other side, but that's going to lead them kind of right smack into Julian and Glory. Oh, is there somebody up? I think I see. I can't really see in the dark too well, but I think I can sort of see a couple people up there. Hello? Hello?
Josh!
I don't know what to do.
I go ahead and just greet them. Hey guys, I came to by to see where you live.
Is there any way I can, because they're about to crash head on to each other.
Yes.
Each other.
Yeah.
Can I flank them and pickpocket the coins from them?
You can absolutely try.
I'll just keep talking.
Because I think if she keeps doing the motor mouth thing, that it'll, just like Jackie did in the future, it might give us a little bit of a chance.
I'm working something up.
This place isn't too far away from the bar.
No, it's not. I mean, what are you guys doing out here? This seems a little bit strange that you would be out here.
Awfully dark. We were kind of lost, actually.
Yeah, this is a weird place to wander.
Well, you had mentioned that you grew up in Naga and that there were children, and it was... You know, you mentioned it wasn't a great place, but that it was home. And I'm not allowed to go back home right now. And, I just met these dudes. But I thought maybe I could come and look around a little bit and see if I can find a place for a homeless teen tiefling.
So I've got to sneak up on them, right?
Yeah, you're going to roll a sleight of hand check, Brian.
You got plus two.
Which one are you going to try to rob?
Kelsey. Fuck!
What you got?
It's a 4.
Yeah, you go to reach and you just basically punch Kelsey in the side.
Oh, see, I was thinking I was just gonna accidentally get like a full ass, like just a chunky grab of ass.
And they turn around and she turns around and
says, "Hey, what are you doing?"
And Blenko, the captain, looks at Julian and Glory, looks at Henley, goes, "I don't like this one bit. I think you guys are following us. I think you're trying to find our hideout."
I cast Sacred Flame right now.
I
straight up set them on fire. I panicked.